Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone Brath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you? I tried to get on my other computer, my HP, but you know, with the Windows, I don't know. They're doing crazy stuff with that computer.
Oh, boy.
All of a sudden, it said, we have to reboot the whole computer, blah, blah, blah. Now, really, it happens the day after they're no longer supporting Windows 7. I find that a little hard to believe.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it seems a little engineered on their part. And then finally, it rebooted and came back. And so I went on my Mac, and I decided I will go with my Mac. I mean, isn't it funny how we have to get rid of perfectly good computers now? You know, like, is that not going to be like 100 million computers in the garbage, in the landfill, like, that are
pretty
still
much
good? It's terrible. I don't know. Do you have a Windows 7 or do you have?
No, I have 10, so.
Yeah, and I remember that had a big breach in it yesterday. You heard about that, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard about that, and it's like I've had nothing but issues with Windows 10 on my laptop, you know, because I have a Toshiba laptop, and for whatever the reason, the Windows 10 update just screwed with everything. So like my keyboard doesn't always work. So just to circumvent, I use like an external keyboard that I plug into a USB slot just to get my keyboard to work, because my actual keyboard, like, I'll type letters and it'll type backwards, and my shift key doesn't work, and it's a pain in the ass.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, that's why I'm sticking with my Mac, and I'm going offline with my Windows 7, because I only use it for, like, watching exercise videos that I exercise with that I don't need it to go on. So that computer is going offline, because I don't want to hack an email, you know what I mean, like getting everything
exactly
hacked. But that's why I didn't switch to Windows 10, because people keep saying there's so much problems with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the Windows 7
was
running.
I hadn't.
And again, you know, you have no choice. If anybody wants to use it, they have to use Windows 10. So it's kind of crazy. Yep. Boy, it's a weird world, isn't it?
Very.
But I'd like to have a business where I could tell everybody, well, you have to sell it. You have to get rid of a perfectly good thing now. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
I
right?
I have to sell you a $1,000 new thing. You know, that's kind of crazy. But we've had the week of nothing working right here. So whatever could break has broken this week. And it was so funny because the universe knew on Wednesday I was going to have the disaster day where my washing machine wouldn't be working. I needed to fix something electrical. I mean, everything was going wrong. And if I had to do the psychic party that I was supposed to do, I would have been freaking out of my mind because I wouldn't have time to buy the washing machine and do this. Well, the client that had booked, she ended up kind of forgetting about it and didn't book it out. And I was so grateful. But the funny part about this story is I knew her after my dad died when I needed to figure out how to get the fuel oil delivered to the house. I didn't know, like, if he was on automatic payment or whatever it was. And the girl that answered was so nice and lovely to me. And later I met her at a psychic party. So that was her house I was supposed to be going to. Don't you think my dad knew what was going to happen? Even though that party
probably
was booked 3 months in advance, that she would need that day off, you know?
Yeah, probably.
So it was just wonderful. So instead of being totally out of my mind, it was kind of like, if everything's going to go wrong, this is a good day for it to all go wrong. So that's why when I turn on the computer, I go, oh, not this too. You know?
Yep.
Well, we're back on the air, and we have a lot of listeners. And Karen, by the way, who we just love, and her brother has just passed away, has been getting some very nice signs from her brother, which I was so glad to hear via the email. So, you know, pay attention to those signs that people are giving us is important. And it's comforting to get the signs from the other side. And Nicole, someone asked me recently, is Nicole psychic? Does Nicole get signs from the other side? I said, well, she's very intuitive and she is psychic, but can you answer that question yourself? Because I could see she's listening.
Yes.
I know her number.
Yes, I do get definite signs, and you know, I think that to a degree, I do have some psychic ability. Unfortunately, I am one of those. I'm a pragmatist, and I overthink things a lot. So, you know, sometimes when I get my signs, they're not always as clear, or I try to talk myself out of them being a sign. But I do have you know, a lot of moments where all of a sudden, I guess my spirit guides will just have just had it with my overthinking mind, and then I'll just get information and it'll just like spew out of me, and then I'll just go, oh, okay, now we're good, and then that'll be it. But yeah, you know, I do have a certain degree. I'm not nearly as good as Cindy, but yes, I do have a degree of psychic ability, and when I'm on, I'm on, and when I'm off, I'm you know, slightly on.
And also, I think this might be interesting to you to know. When people say to me, well, it must be easier for you to deal with the dead because you talk to the dead. And I go, well, the funny part about my life is the rules when I became psychic, or when the universe sort of gave me it to me, like I didn't ask for it. Like other people like take classes or, you know, study this stuff. They really want it. I had like no friggin' clue. I was not looking for this one bit. And my deal was like, okay, you want me to have this ability, but I want to be like normal perfectly when I'm not working. In other words, I don't want to be like 24/7 talking to dead people, or, you know, like invading other people's privacy because I'm seeing all this stuff surrounding them. So it's only on when I'm working, and when it's, you know, when I'm not working, I have about as much psychic ability as anyone. So I get about the same kinds of signs that you might get from the other side of that. They don't talk to me like a telephone, okay?
So yeah.
and it allows me to understand how other people feel when people die. Like you don't want to be a person that's got like superpowers. You're not human.
No.
So you don't feel what other humans feel. So in my own life, death feels as tragic as it does to anyone. And if you know, and I get as many messages as you do. Maybe I'm a little more comforted because of all the dead people I've talked to. I really, you know, believe that I will see these people again. Maybe that makes it easier. But I don't get any more messages than anyone else would get. You know, just the same.
But you know what I mean by that is you know how to receive them, and you know how to read them a little bit better. You know, than somebody like me who's like, oh my God, was that a sign? Well, no, you know, if the stars align this way, or, you know, if this, you know, like talking myself out of it. But like I said, you know, sometimes when I'm speaking to somebody, I'll just get information, or like I'll be talking to somebody and like somebody will have a message for them. And I won't, like, I'll hear like in the back of my head almost, like just say, like just for me to just say something. And I'll be like, no, that's what I'm not talking about that right now. Like, you know, and somehow, some way I get it. Like I segue into some tangent where I wind up saying it. And then I go, why the hell did I say that? And then I go, aha, you know, it's like, okay, that's why I said that, you know, it's kind of funny. It's kind of, you know, hijacked me a little bit. It's kind of funny, you know, but I just got hijacked. But that's kind of what happens to me. And I'll never forget. I was very, very convinced that I had zero ability. And Cindy, you remember my friend Carol, and I, we've done shout outs to Carol,
sure.
Carol's past and things like that. And Carol was very, very gifted. She was very, very in tune, you know, with, you know, her own abilities. And, you know, she got constant messages, and she was always in touch, it seems, with, you know, especially at the time that she was in my life. You know, I had a lot of psychic energy around me because I was going through a difficult time. So I had a lot of people around me, I guess, trying to protect me. And, you know, she would constantly, you know, say, well, you know, so-and-so is with you, and this is with you, and that's with you. And then she asked me a question one day, And I started answering, and I was holding back a little bit. And then all of a sudden, I just started speed talking, like going on and on and on and on and on. And all of a sudden, you know, when I stopped, I was like, and I was like, I was just, it was an abrupt stop. It was just like, huh, like mid-sentence. And she looked at me, and she smiled, and she laughed at me, and she goes, and that's how we get information. And she just walked out of my store. She was visiting me at my video game, so she just walked out. I'm like, oh, I'm like, that's what that is. You know, I had no idea. But she kind of brought it to light, and I embraced it a little bit more when it did happen after that.
Wow. And, yeah. You know, and I'm so glad that, you know, you were, like, so receptive to allowing it to happen, you know.
Yeah.
And, again, like, the last thing I want to do when I'm not working is be psychic, okay?
Oh, yeah, no.
I don't want to talk to one more dead person. I don't want one more dead person invading my brain with other thoughts that are not my own. I mean, because there's
yep.
times when I've worked so many hours for so many days that I haven't had a thought of my own, and that's when my own brain
mm-hmm.
starts rebelling. Like,
oh,
now
yeah.
we need
oh,
to
yeah.
think our own thoughts. We need to get, and so when people say, can't you just squeeze me in today? I desperately need you. I'm like,
no,
I'm going to lose my own mind at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No.
Well, you know what? Like, sometimes I'll do card readings for people, you know, just my friends and things like that. And, you know, when I have the cards with me, like, I'll pick up on a whole lot more. Like, the cards just, I guess, you know, I mean, even for people that don't believe necessarily in tarot, what's great about tarot cards is that, like, you know, we have our set modes of thinking. Whether you're a believer in tarot or not, you know, we all have our set modes of thinking. We all have our go-tos when we're trying to analyze something. So whether you believe, you know, that tarot is actually telling the future, telling your present, or telling your past or not, or whether or not you just think, hey, you know, it's a deck of cards, you know, whatever. What the good thing about them is that since we have this pattern of brain activity, the tarot cards will just show you a path that maybe is not one of your go-to paths, you know? So I wind up doing a lot of readings for my friends, whether they believe in it or not, just because they're like, okay, listen, you know, hit me with something, hit me with, I'm in a funk. I need to get out of my funk, you know, hit me with something, you know, and I'll pull my cards in and things like that. So like when I do stuff like that, it comes so much easier because I'll see one card and I'll be able to talk for a half an hour about that one card, not knowing anything about their situation.
Wow. And that's actually
yeah.
the best way to do it. It's the best way to do it. And again, I'm not a fan of picking my own cards, by the way, because I am the worst reader of myself. I wouldn't pay myself a nickel for reading. I swear to God, I'm so
oh, yeah.
wrong when I read myself.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
I'm like
it's terrible.
Totally wrong. Like,
yep, and
when
you're tired,
wrong.
You've just done it too much, you know, it's like your messages get muddy, you know, and it's like, I don't want to say the wrong thing, you know, but listen, you know, it's, you know, give me my space, you know, let me just do my thing, and then if I'm done, I'm done, and stop asking.
And stop asking, I know, and it's
yeah.
funny because sometimes people, I'll say it very clearly, and they totally heard what they wanted to hear, but it wasn't
mm-hmm.
at all what I said, you know,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
like, that wasn't what I said. I don't know where you got that one from, but that one wasn't me. So, you know, I just have to laugh. So I think I do that with myself when I'm reading myself. I'm kind of like,
uh-huh.
I'd be like, nope, I don't know what I'm doing. So, no, I don't read myself at all. So,
yeah, no.
There's
a lot going on there when you read yourself.
No, and you know, I would rather just not do that at all. So we do
yep.
have a lot of listeners tonight. And, Nicole, can you inform our listeners what they need to do if they want to talk to you or I? What must they
yes,
do?
Yes, absolutely. If you wish to speak to us this evening, then please press the number 1 so that we know to pull you into the chat room to screen your call and to get you on the air tonight. Without pressing the number 1, I'm not going to know that you want to talk to us. So we will be going into the first caller, and the first caller, just so that everybody knows, I always identify our callers by the last 4 digits of your phone number, all right? So when you hear me say the last 4 digits, please respond, because otherwise I'm just going to move on to the next caller. And I always go to the person that has been waiting the longest, and we're about to do that right now. But before I do that, I just want to do one thing. Last weekend, a very good friend of mine, Maurice, who I work with and who has been an excellent friend to my wife, who used to work very, very closely with my wife, who has appeared in a number of photo shoots for my company. He lost his brother in a car accident down in, I believe it was Boca, Florida. You know, he was driving and he fell asleep at the wheel and he wound up succumbing to his injuries. And he was 33 years old, you know, so I just want to ask our lovely listeners to please say a prayer for Angel Corchado, whose life was taken at 33, and to the entire Corchado family, who is just devastated by this news. So if everybody could just keep them in their prayers this week, I know that they can use them.
Oh, and of course, the saddest part is that falling asleep at the wheel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like most of us do stupid shit that we live to tell. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, done so many stupid things in our life.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, sometimes we have to, like, realize if we're tired, you know, and, you know, I think when I could tell this person was very strong-willed, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I don't think anyone could have told him not to do what he did, you know, not to drive. But, he, you know, he certainly, you know, I don't think he's crossed over yet. So he needs a little time to adjust.
Yeah, no, it's fairly new. And I think that it was very, very out of the blue. He was rising in the MMA community down in Florida. He was preparing for a fight. You know, and it was a long night at the gym, and, you know, he drove when he, you know, after a long night of working out, and unfortunately, you know, I hope to God that he wasn't even awake when you know, he hit. You know, I hope that he just kind of fell asleep and then just didn't wake up, you know, because just the thought of it is terrible, you know, and where the accident happened, it was on an off-ramp to the highway. So it was, you know, and obviously, you know, his toxicology came back clean. So the overall consensus was that he was on his way home. And, you know, from a long night of working out and a long night of preparation for his fight at the end of the month. And, you know, he just didn't make it home.
Aw, how sad that is. Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
I know.
So prayers for Angel and prayers for, you know, for his family who, you know, like I said, could really use the little bit of, you know, spiritual support this week.
Oh, of course. And, prayers will go for him and for him to settle down and accept and go to the other side. Cause he really hasn't gone to the other side yet.
He's probably lingering around his brothers and sisters right now, if I know him. So.
It's not unusual. They kind of hang out. It's not bad because they're recently dead.
Yeah.
But, you know, his soul can hear us. And I just said, like, stay a little bit and then go to the other side. It'll be easier. It's harder to stay earthbound.
Yes.
You know, so I'm hoping he will listen. From what I could tell. He wasn't one person. He wasn't a person that, like, you could tell too much what to do. I'm telling you right now. you know, I'm just laughing because he has a good sense of humor, though, by the way. He's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah, he was a very funny guy.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, we do have a lot of listeners, and you just...
Yes, we do, and we've got people that want to talk to us. So I'm going to go to the person that has been waiting the longest. They've been waiting about a half an hour now, Cindy. So they were on even before I called into the show. So just
and
so
before
that, you know,
I could get on,
you,
yeah.
Before you could even get on. Oh, who
oh,
you
yeah.
Can you get on 30 seconds before we start half the time?
And that's because you know what my life is like. People come late.
Oh, I know.
Early,
that's why. I only start to worry if it's 30 seconds to go and I don't see your number come up. You know, like, but anything but like 45 seconds, I'm like, yeah, she'll be there. Like, I'm not even worried. It's because I know your life. So we're going to go to the person waiting the longest. You know, the last four digits of your number are 8816. All right. And then I'm going to jump into the chat room and screen some more calls, Cindy. So here we go to 8816.
Hello.
Could I have your name, please?
Jennifer.
Hello, Jennifer.
Okay. Is this our Jennifer?
Where are you calling from? A long time.
Where are you calling from?
From Long Island.
Oh, so you're calling from Long Island. Okay. And so what's on your mind today?
I'm a teacher, and I have a horrible class this year. in a horrible grade. I'm deeping. I'm just wondering if, like, I'm having a very stressful year. I'm wondering, is next school year going to be just as bad? Like, are they going to give me a lot of bad kids again? I don't know what to expect next year.
Well, again, let's get through this year and try to make the best of it. Are the kids bad and their parents are bad too, or is it just bad kids but good parents?
I had a little trouble with one parent, but it got squashed with the principal, so it's not so bad now.
Okay, good.
But most of the parents are okay with me.
And good, okay, because sometimes if you're dealing with a bad kid, like a kid that's pretty manipulative and judgmental and not accountable, which are traits of an unfixable, but we don't classify people unfixable until they're 25. If they have parents who have those traits, you're not going to be able to help that kid because the parents are just going to make your life crazy.
Right.
You know, it looks to me like you can get through this year and, next year, it's too far to even predict what next year is going to bring. It's too far from now. But it looks like take it one day at a time here and try to just get through the best you can. How many kids in the kids in the class are bad?
Like 9 of them.
are you teaching a class that is notoriously, known for having kids that are bad? I mean, is it a special ed of some sort class?
Some might be special ed, but like I'm really not supposed to be the special ed class, but I don't know why they're in there, but they haven't been evaluated.
Also, it's bad behavior is kind of contagious, so it may be that you have one or two really bad kids that are going to make the rest worse. So it's probably dealing with this kind of calmly but firmly, so that
it's
a little fear of God of you.
How is administration with me? Because I didn't do so well on my observation because they're so bad.
Well, I think they, how many people were observing you?
One.
Okay. I think that in some ways that person felt a little sympathy for you because they kind of know what's going on, but, was in some ways fair in the evaluation, but, it wasn't a great evaluation, not necessarily because of you, but because of what they observed in the class. So it looks like you were, fairly evaluated at this point. Did you try? Are you trying to stay calm with these kids?
Yeah, I'm trying to get extra help with classroom management too. But I'm just afraid my other observations, how they're going to go.
Well, this is why we're going to try to figure out how you're going to make this classroom have a little more control over it. Because it is, when I was a kid, because I was colorblind, and I could see every color but not every shade, so it made me, I guess, appear to be bad or stupid. I don't know. That I didn't listen. But if you would tell me go over to the blue chair, I might not necessarily know that where that chair was. You know what I mean? Like, which chair is it? So I was in the classroom with all, like, by the time I was in, third grade, I go, why am I in the class with all these, juvenile delinquents? All these people are going to probably land in jail. I mean, they were really bad, a lot of my classrooms. And, I could see how some kids would, learn that behavior and get worse. So it just kept getting worse and worse as the year went on. And, I never was bad because I was a good kid. But it might just be that if the kids are getting away with something, then the other kids are going to try. So you kind of firm, but with the kids that are misbehaving, are they a little afraid of you not to do something wrong?
Well, it's kindergarten, so they're kind of, it's like you have to say something every 5 seconds.
They're kindergarten. And again, it's hard to believe, you got to get out of Dodge with the kindergarten kids, but it looks to me children are empaths and they can feel when they're making us crazy and they love when they do that. So, you have to kind of accept this as your class, It looks to me like you're not fully accepting this as your being your class for the year. And you just got to accept what you can't change. And it doesn't look to me like you'd ever get a class quite as bad as this one is. And I could see you're not exaggerating from the alignment of cards. You got a couple of, you know, really difficult kids. But, again, they are five-year-old. You are the boss. And, you know, be firmer with them and, you know, do what you can. That's all you can do. But just the class, you're trying to keep it from looking chaotic, the class? Do the kids listen?
No, it's not chaotic all the time, but you just have to, like, stop the lesson. You got to wait for them to stop and stuff like that, you know.
Well, it looks to me like you've also got all kids that have a lot of energy. Have you figured that out?
Yes.
So sometimes kids who have a lot of energy aren't necessarily bad. I know I was a professional dancer for years. I have a lot of kinesthetic energy. I don't like to sit still all the time. So school was murder when I had to sit still all the time. Is it possible when you see them acting up, you march them around the classroom or you do something that gets them physical for a few minutes?
Well, sometimes I put something on for 5 minutes and it's like an exercise program.
That's a good idea.
On the smart board. So.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And I think if you did that for 5 minutes, okay, I can see you're all getting, we're antsy, we need to get up moving. Do that for 5 minutes and then tell them, look, now we're going to do the lesson, and if we do get through this, we'll do another fun thing. It might help motivate them because sometimes they're just not being bad. Kids aren't really meant to sit so still, and kindergarten is not like kindergarten anymore. It's like first grade more. It's hard.
Right.
And they're kind of little. So, you know, maybe just when you're dealing with kids that are more physical, you have to, you know, get them up moving. Otherwise, they just do go crazy. They don't mean to be bad, you know, but they start getting antsy. Mm-hmm. It looks like they like you, the kids. I mean, I don't see that they don't like you. I think they just don't necessarily like the structure. And it is a lot of structure in kindergarten now. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't envy kids at this point, you know, and it's hard to teach kids. I mean, you really are doing, like, work that would normally be done in first grade in the past. And not probably ready to learn that stuff.
No, they're not.
So, you know what I'm saying? So do the best you can.
Do you see me being in a different grade next year? Can you see that?
Yeah, it looks like they're going to probably give you a different grade next year. You know, it doesn't look like this is the right age group for you.
Mm-hmm. Does the administration realize that?
I think they realize it. Not everybody can deal with five-year-olds. It's not saying there's anything wrong with you. I mean, I was a children's entertainer for 25 years. I could deal with kids of all age groups, but some are more difficult than others. But it just looks like they realize this is not the right fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what grade would you like to teach? Because let's put it out to the universe. Give her, what grade do you want next year?
I worked with first grade. It was
the first grade?
I felt like it was a big difference between.
Well, first grade, they've already broken the spirit, okay? Kindergarten, they're still like, wait, we're kids, you know?
Right, to get
them to sit still. So I can understand why first grade would be better for you. So put it out there that you want to teach first grade. You will get through this year. Again, don't fight it too much because it only makes it worse. But if you have kids that can't sit still so much, you know, you can teach them while they're moving. You can teach. You can figure out creative ways to teach them.
Well, I have one that runs, that walks around all day long.
Yeah, well.
She's uncontrollable. So. But I let her because she's hyper and.
And also, some people
too
are
much
just,
all day.
Some people are going to be like baseball players and ballerinas. They're not going to be sitting down for a living, okay? So you're asking people whose livelihood one day will be to be very physical to sit still all day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really difficult. And I sympathize with kids like that because I know, I mean, I could sit for long periods of time now when my mind is very occupied. I could, you know, if I'm writing a play, I could sit there for 6 hours because my mind is so occupied. But if it's something that's not fully occupying me, I can't sit for 6 hours. I'd have to, like, shoot myself at that point. So just realize that you got a class with a lot of kinesthetic energy, and you know, if that girl wants to walk around, there's not much you can do about it. You know what I mean? Like,
no, that I just let her. It's just the other kids I try to control more.
Well, it does look like you're getting to, you know, it's been a hard year. You're halfway through it. Do the best you can. Why don't you ask some angels and spirit guides of these children to get in there and help? Whenever I was doing a kids' party and the kids were, and most of the time they were really great, but if they was like bad, I'd be like, oh, dear God, send somebody down to help me. And all of a sudden, the energy would shift, and I'm not sure what was going on, but you might want to ask some spirit guides to get in that classroom and tweak that kid's brains a little bit and get them to, you know, ask for some help from the other side. That's their job, mm-hmm. and they could really perhaps help you. And it's not easy. You have a hard job. I don't envy your job. It's a hard job. But it does look like you'll get through the year. And, again, you're going to get another evaluation. So try to figure out a way to get it where you've worked within the context of what you're dealing with, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just remember – he's another year next year, and it does look like you'll probably get first grade next year. So,
okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. I don't envy your job. It's difficult. It's very mm-hmm. difficult. And especially, really, kindergarten is extremely hard now. It's really
mm-hmm.
– I remember being in first grade and thinking, boy, they fooled us in kindergarten. Kindergarten was a lot of fun. This is not
mm-hmm.
a lot of fun.
Right, right.
Not a lot of fun. Well, call in and let us know if you ask the other side to help. And, you know, if you're changing some of your attitude, how to deal with them, and realizing that sometimes you've got to work with what is with those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get through it. Well,
all
good
right,
luck
thanks.
To you, and thank you for sharing that with us.
All right. Thank
Bye.
You. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Boy, I don't envy, you know, teachers' jobs. It's a hard job, Nicole.
It is
it's a hard
so
job.
Hard. I know. I have friends of mine that are teachers, and, you know, getting proper placement and, you know, getting jobs that even just pay are just so difficult.
Right, exactly. And it's so funny because, you know, I was telling her, like, it was hard for me because when I was partially colorblind, being put in the stupid class as well, the crazy kids when I was younger, you know,
yep.
until they figured out that I was colorblind, oh, gee, she's not just stupid and doesn't listen. You know what I mean? Like when we tell
yep.
her things. So I had to go to fight a ticket that I got. And believe me, I won because it was a construction zone that was marked incorrectly. So I didn't know where to go. And it wasn't
oh, boy.
Me doing something wrong. It was incorrectly marked. And thank God I was able to fight the ticket, but I just sit there for 5 hours. And then, you know, they said a little, but you still have to wait to pay. Or, you know, they said, but you don't have to pay anything, but you still have to wait to just, like, we have to give you things to sign off. I'm like, okay, go sit in the green chairs. And I was like,
yep.
I looked at the guy and I said, excuse me, I'm colorblind. Where are the green chairs? And he just went, oh, those are the ones right there. But I finally said, you would love it because it's only the second time in my life that I've admitted in public that I was colorblind, you know,
that's
rather
funny.
Than just look, rather than just look stupid, you know, just
yep.
stand there and look stupid, like, or like, and in court, you don't want to look like you're not listening. Like
yep.
you go
no,
sit in the wrong
not.
Seat after they told you where to sit. Do you know what I mean? You don't want them to like
yep.
think, you know, now that I've won this case, I don't want to say, well, then she didn't listen. No, we went.
Yeah, right.
But that was the fun day. But I don't envy anybody who has to go to Hop Hop Court with a ticket because it was 5.5 hours.
Oh,
okay?
My God. They're terrible. They are so terrible there.
5.5 hours, okay? And
yeah,
I'm
nuts.
Like, it's nuts, right? It's
yep.
nuts. But anyway, I was glad I went, but still I don't want to duplicate that experience of going for 5.5 hours sitting in a place.
Yeah.
Really?
No, I say let's skip that.
No, let's skip that. Okay, so we have someone else who's
Well, tonight is the night of Jennifer's, okay? So our first call was from Jennifer, who is not our Jennifer, but called in a long time ago. Our second call is from a woman named Jennifer, who is calling us from New York. And then our third caller, Cindy, is going to be from our Jennifer, who you thought the first Jennifer was in the first place. So We're going to go over to
now,
our second Jennifer. It's crazy, right?
That we have three Jennifers tonight.
Three Jennifers in a row right now. So, yeah. So we're going to go out to Jennifer in New York. And she called us a while back, Cindy. And her mother has passed. So every time she calls us, she always wants to know how her mom is doing. But in addition to that, when she did call in a few months ago, she was getting out of a bad relationship. My guess is that you were advising her to please get out of said relationship. She did. And now she wants to know, all right, she got out of the bad one. When's the good one coming? So here we go to Jennifer in New York. Hello, Jennifer. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Happy New Year. Sorry about my voice.
Oh, that sounds very sexy, Jennifer.
It doesn't feel sexy, but thank you.
I know. Well, first of all, Mom is very proud of you. And it appears that she helped get you out of this relationship. Was it harder than you thought to get out of it?
Yeah. That's why I called you actually last time, because I was struggling. But everything that you said and everything that I knew, you know, was true. I just had to kind of do it.
And you did it.
I did. And actually, things are really, believe it or not, good. We actually are kind of like friends, even though it's weird. But yeah, it's actually come full circle. I've never been friends with anyone that I've actually dated before, so.
Okay, good. So some people make better friends than lovers, okay? That's just the way it can be. And now you need a little period of time of standing on your own two feet without a man.
It's been a little while, actually.
Has it been three months?
I didn't even start dating until, like, you know, months after.
Good. And how are you finding these dates? Are you doing online dating?
Yes, and I never actually did online before. It's pretty much a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that there's positives, too. I can't say, I've had a lot of, like, fun dates or whatever, but the whole thing of, like, people never speaking to you again, disappearing.
Well, the ghosting is, like, a phenomena that, you know, if anybody's listened to our show that I brought up years ago and have found it to be such an astronomical problem, only getting worse, not better. And
yeah.
So anyone who's online dating, like, get used to the fact that they don't usually just ghost you if they don't care about you that much. They might even have the courage to tell you, look, I don't think it's going to work. They tend to ghost more when there's a connection, and then they're realizing they're not ready for connection. And that's really painful because you end up saying, like, hey, we had a really good date or a really good conversation, and then, you know, I really felt great about this. And then all of a sudden, you know, he doesn't call. And,
right.
Like, that's because a lot of people online aren't looking for relationships and they have commitment issues. And so as soon as it gets to be something real, they run away. So if you can go into online dating with the knowledge that you might have a soulmate connection with someone you meet there, and you're not crazy. It was heart, soul, mind, knocked your socks off, and then the person disappears, okay? And, yeah, if you can deal with that and not take it personally, you can be fine to stay online. If you're the kind of person that's going to let it affect your self-esteem or start thinking, well, maybe there was something wrong with me, blah, 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 no. Like, so the ghosters are oftentimes when there is a connection. A lot of my clients have said, you know, right after they slept with someone, they ran away, which is terrible because then you wonder, like, oh, my God, what went on? And they go, well, that's the whole thing. That's all they wanted. And, you know, they might have talked a good game before that, but then ran away. So you have to have a tough skin to be online and not take it all personally. Are you working at that?
In the beginning, I don't know if it's personal, but it's just, like, so different because you're just not used to people not expressing themselves at least a little bit or talking more. So now to the point where I go out, I have fun. Like, if they ask me where I want to go, I pick a place that I want to go. So at least I know, like, all right, you know what, we're going to go to this restaurant. And then I see what happens after. If that's what happens, then I say to myself, you know, it wasn't meant to be. But I have to say, it is a lot of, like, emotions and stuff that you go through with it.
Oh, yeah. And again, if you don't take it personally, And you realize this is the nature of certain people, you can go on it because there are some good people on it. Obviously, you're on there, but
I mean, it makes it, I'm actually really glad. I must not have heard whatever show you said how there's a connection, because I do feel and I'm not going to say all the dates, that some of the dates were really good. Conversation was good. And then the next thing you know, you don't hear from the person again, or you hear from them a few times and then not again.
Right. And that's what's frightening, because you'll say, did I make this up that there was a connection, or did I fart? Did I do something wrong? What did I do? Did the guy never call me back? You know, like, what's the story with this? And again, they tend to run away online dating if there's a strong connection, because it's not what they're looking for. So if there wasn't such a strong connection, they might stick around for a few months and, as I say, fuck the hell out of you for a few months and then, you know, drop you. But when they run away like that, they're just not looking for a higher love. They're not rejecting you. They're not looking for commitment or relationship or a higher love. So it can be painful. And believe me, older souls, and you're a very old soul, might get connected with a number of soulmates online, because maybe the universe is saying to this person, grow up already, you know.
Right.
But, and don't be surprised if they circle back towards you again.
It's so funny because somebody texted me tonight, and I had taken them out of my contacts. So when they wrote my name with question marks, and then, of course, I wasn't going to respond. And then I'm like, who is this? They're like, wow, how easy you forget. That's why I don't take people out of my contacts. So at least I know who it is.
Right.
But,
and also remember.
Yeah, literally tonight, like about 2 hours ago.
Right, so they circle around. Sometimes they circle back because they don't remember they've already spoken with you or dated you, because they're so stupid, because they're dating so many people. Like, look, we had 3 Jennifers tonight. Now, that could be confusing for someone online if there's 3 Jennifers.
And by the way, I'm a teacher too.
You're what?
I'm a teacher also.
Wow, so it's the Jennifer Teacher Day. So, so picture a lot of the things when they do circle back. Because commitment phobics don't know if they fear loving you or losing you more. And so sometimes they just run away because they're afraid. But then, like, 3 months later, they come back again, see if they still got you or still interested, and they run again. So it's a lot of
it becomes
mind
like a game,
games,
right?
Online dating.
Yeah.
And, again, you know, it seems to be a way that, you know, people are meeting. So, you know, I don't say people don't go on there. But
right.
It's a very good lesson in not taking things personally. How I learned not to take things personally was by being a professional children's entertainer and belly dancer and Hawaiian dancer. I was sometimes less than 3 feet away from people. And when you're an entertainer, people think they have a right to critique you in a way that they never critique any other human being. So I would hear in one day, she's too old, she's too young, she's too fat, she's too thin, she's too pretty, she's too ugly, she's too smart, she's too stupid. All in one day. I'd be like, really? How can I be all those things in one day? And I realized if someone has a fat issue, then maybe I'm too fat or too thin, okay? And I didn't take it personally. But a lot of people who work for me, especially the younger girls in their 20s, didn't want to stay with a job. They couldn't take it. And I would say, you have to not take it personally. Just, it's not about you. It's about them. But they couldn't deal with it. But after 25 years of that, I just learned to say it's not about me. So maybe this is your lesson in staying online to figure it's not about you. It's about them.
Well, I'm glad
issues.
I called, because I was actually going to maybe take a break soon, because it's like, it just seemed like, you know, it's a lot of work. It goes a lot of dead ends. It's not,
and
it
I would
fun.
Say don't necessarily go off of it, but don't let it be your only way of looking for people. Like, go about your life. You know, tell people you're single and looking. People are good matchmakers lately. If someone says, I have a son or a friend, you know, meet up with them. The best way is also to join some meetups. You know, if it's a meetup, a walking meetup, or an activity that you want to do, volunteer for a fundraiser and meet some nice people. Kind of get yourself out there a little bit.
Right.
Makes more sense.
Well, I do a lot of stuff, but I have to tell you, it's like people don't want to talk in person, Cindy. It's really weird.
No, I know, well, because they've forgotten how to do it now. You know, as a playwright, most people who know me as a playwright, my plays are usually, you know, romantic and have, you know, love in them. And the most recent one I wrote is called The Karma Bums, and it's a spoof on all things spiritual. And it took me many, many years to figure out why I can't make this play work until I figured out it's 21st century and the relationships can't work. Like, they're not working. And the online dating is spoofed throughout the whole play, because it's just
wow.
Made it so people can't communicate, or they lie, or because they're dealing with strangers, they make up stuff, they lie. They've learned how to talk the soulmate buzzwords and convince 400 women in a year that they're soulmates with these women and hurt them. it's become like a really manipulative place, and where people's dishonesty and is just astronomical. And, you know, I think it's a statement on the amount of narcissism in, you know, 21st century, because at least my generation, people used to pretend to be nice. Okay, it would take us a little longer. It could take you years to figure out somebody wasn't good. Now,
right,
it's like these people are just so, like, it's me, me, me. They don't care. There's not a kindness. But ghosting is everywhere. People ghost you when you go for 5 job interviews. They don't have the courtesy to text you that you didn't get the job. They don't, and the people
right
have to call, like, after 2 weeks, and they go, oh, no, you didn't get a job. Well, you couldn't text the person. You couldn't. You just ghost them. If you send
right, and
a resume.
And in our time, it's almost like, you know, it's like disrespect, but, you know, it's just changed.
And it's so easy.
Hard.
You know, 40
very
years ago,
easy.
30 years ago, people would have to type up a letter and mail it to you to tell you didn't get a job or things
right
like that. Like, now it's like a 2-second email. You can't do that, but it's the same thing as a playwright for me. You could send out a play to 100 places. They don't even acknowledge they got it. Like, can't you, somebody who says, got it? Like, I get 400 emails a day. I answer every single one of them, okay?
Wow.
Like, why can't people just stop being so rude? But it's a rudeness, and, you know, if you go in there, there's nice people on there too. Some people, a lot of people on there are professional dating appers and dating sites. They're on it for 10 years already, okay?
Wow.
And people are on it for 10 years. You got to figure they're either something wrong with them or they're not looking for love. So, you know, go in there with a harder shell. And also people say, you know, they don't want to talk in public. It's almost, if you go to a meetup or you sign up for a different dance class or something, you might meet
mm-hmm
some nice women, some nice friends, and through those you could meet people. It's kind of like you got to show up in a place more than once, you know,
right,
a number of times. And, you know, if they don't want to talk to you, don't talk to them. But there's plenty of people that will talk. You just have to kind of get the conversation going.
I never had a problem talking to anyone, but apparently it's the amount of social and app people in the world is off the charts.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I know it's really crazy. But let's put it this way. Your mom is the one who's going to bring you a soulmate, because soulmate love comes from God and someone who died. Go about your life. And it's 2020 is supposed to be a year where love is going to come your way. Don't
thank
let the
you
people jade you because they're not talking. You know, I notice, like, a lot of times you talk to people, they look like you have 8 heads nowadays. You know, and when people do that to me, I go, you know, people pay to talk to me, is what I say to them.
Yeah, seriously.
Walk away, you know?
And you didn't have to tell them that, by the way.
Right? People pay to talk to me, asshole, and I was talking to you for free. And, you know, but I know exactly what you're talking about, how it feels awkward. But don't let it jade you, because
okay,
you're kind of old-fashioned. And I'm glad, I loved what I heard you say, like, you pick where you're going to go in a restaurant. So you're actually getting a real date. You're going on a real
yeah
date, which is
had,
so
I've
nice.
I've actually had some really good dates. And like I said, I never really had a bad, like, where I had to leave or anything, honestly. So, I mean, I can't complain in that aspect.
Right, because
but
you're obviously
really
a good judge
stories
of character in terms of them being decent people. But I have to tell you about commitment phobics. They're otherwise nice people that do cruel things. They're nice
mm
in the world. They seem like nice people. All of a sudden, they ghost you and disappear. Like, that's a
right
pretty cruel thing to do to somebody who had a connection. And, you know, if people's commitment phobia is large enough, they're just so scared, and that's what they do. But it looks like you're a pretty good judge of character when you, at least you're getting nice people and meeting nice people. It
yeah
is,
but not when I finally make my choices. I'm not good.
When you finally make your what?
When I make the choice of, like, you know, all right, you know what, I'm going to actually date this person. Apparently, I don't choose the best choice.
Well, that's because older souls fall for the princes and princesses that become the beast. We have no idea what we sign on for.
Oh.
So I'm giving you an assignment, and a lot of our listeners out there, an assignment. When you go on a date, I want you to, like, write down the red flags. Like, if there's a
okay –
because we've been brainwashed when we like somebody, we're good – judges of character when we don't like people. When we like people, not so much. So all of a sudden, we'll see something bad, and we'll just, like, block it out. It's denial. You know, see the good
right
in everybody. So write down the red flags. Like he said this yesterday, but it doesn't match with what he said today. You know, and write down red flags, because that way you won't get involved with the prince that became the beast again. You'll start to
and
realize.
Cindy, what about the people? What about the people that like start like saying all this craziness to you right away, like over the top, like.
Oh, they love bomb you. That's what they do, because that works on a lot of needy women. You'd be surprised how people love bomb people that on Facebook and stuff like
really?
That. Like you've never even met them.
That's like a red flag, like goodbye. Like just
right. That's usually
you.
Because they're trying to take advantage of a needy person. Sometimes a woman whose husband just died. Men do that, and they're so desperate.
Okay.
And I've had clients give tremendous amounts of money to these people, by the way, even though I advised them the person was a crook. I showed what a scam it was. They just didn't believe it. Didn't believe it. And I kept saying, nope, this person's a crook. They're not who they say they are. You don't even know if this is a man. It could be a woman. You don't know who this is.
Right,
you know, it
right.
could be an old lady. You don't know who this is. And so they love bomb, and they do that because it works on a lot of people. Because someone that's
like they
just
start
been,
telling you things like the future and what you're going to do with them and how, whatever. I mean, it's like crazy. Like,
well, that's because, like, say you were just like reading my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, which is about soulmates. And you go online and some guy starts doing the soulmate stuff. You're my soulmate, love bombing you. People might be going, well, I've been reading about soulmates and that's what this is all about. They take advantage of people who sort of think they're going to get a soulmate tomorrow, and they
okay.
play on all of that. And they've been on the site so long that they learn how to be really good manipulators. Okay,
right.
so
okay.
someone now, it's a hard thing in the world, because soulmates, when you really do meet a soulmate, like the way when I met TJ, my husband, there was a very strong connection. Like the first night I met him. Within the second time he came, we had a very strong connection, and we've been together ever since. Like, it was there. So sometimes it's hard to tell, because soulmates do have this instant thing, okay? But online, they're making it like it's an instant thing. They're trying to say all the buzzwords and everything.
But
so
it's just not the same as being in person anyway.
And two, it's also, you know, you would have to feel it as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, so if you're not feeling it, it's like, whoa, okay, this
yeah,
person is stretching it.
I wasn't feeling it.
But don't fall in love with people who you've never met, you
no,
know.
It's not happening.
You're right, because so many of my clients have fallen in love with people they've never met, and I'm like, you don't understand. You don't know who that person is on the other end.
Right.
They could be
and
a 95-year-old man instead of.
Like, have you ever did long distance? And that to me is like crazy too.
Oh, yeah.
Especially on the online.
Right, exactly. And people that want to do long distance online usually are either married, they have people in four other states, or they're major commitment phobics.
Right.
So, and
right.
don't believe when somebody says this, oh, I didn't realize you were on Long Island. I'm in Boston. Oh, but we have this great contact. No, they knew, you know, connection. They knew. They knew.
Right.
So remember, people lie and they lie a lot. And that's part of what you're supposed to learn on this 7 out of 10 people aren't all that great. They lie and they lie a lot. So you're getting an education here, you know. So,
oh, great. Another education. Another degree.
Another degree. And this is a degree in figuring out who's lying and scamming you. But, again, use it as one means of finding people, but also try to get out there and make some human contacts, because our soulmate's part of our soul group. And you haven't met all, you know, there's a lot of your soul group you still need to meet.
Okay.
So it's just going to a new gym, different gym, you know, volunteering is always good. Like if there's a fundraiser for something or another, you meet nice people. So it's just, you know, getting yourself literally out there a little bit. But 2020 looks like a year of love for you, so I'm not really worried about you.
Thank you, Cindy.
And keep us posted. And I'm glad you called in, because your mom really wanted me to give you some motherly advice that, you know.
Yes, thank you.
Like,
I know
like she probably wouldn't know that on Earth, but –
I told that I work with Karen. I'm very good friends with Karen.
Oh, with Karen?
Yes, you'll love Karen.
We love her so much.
That's how I met you, through Karen.
That's right. And so.
And by the way, I'll be at your fundraiser in March. With Karen.
Wow. I can't wait. That's going to be a great event at the Miller Ridge Inn, by the way.
Yes, at the Miller Ridge Inn, exactly. Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think I got that gig because my parents, that used to be their favorite restaurant. So funny
I haven't been there now in a little bit, but that place has been there forever.
It's been there since I was a kid, so it's been there forever, ever.
Yep.
Well, I can't wait to see you again. And thank you for, like, calling in today with yours, because I think a lot of other people needed to hear some of the stuff that we discussed with you.
Thank you, Cindy. I appreciate it, and I always feel good after I speak to you, so thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye.
Have a good night. Bye.
Bye. Now, we have about 5 minutes to be the other Jennifer. I'm sorry it's only 5 minutes, but let's see what we
can start
in mind.
Well, thank God Jennifer loves us that we're only giving her 5 minutes here. So let's just jump right into our Jennifer. Hello, Jennifer.
Hello,
you
ladies.
Are on the air, my dear.
Hi. Funny, I called in at 1:45. So
a 7:45?
Other people got on before me.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I know. You know what? They call in. People call in the crack of dawn. I mean, I wasn't there in for 30 seconds before the show. These people have been on since yesterday, you know?
Okay, exactly.
So what's on your mind, Jennifer?
I need to know about romance. And a lot like the last Jennifer, I just got out of a relationship. So I'm looking for something new and maybe career. How are the cards looking for both? Should I be focusing on one, not the other, or both okay?
And actually, again, we always say on the show, when you're looking for love and you're looking for a job, sometimes it's all linked, okay? It's all linked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe the new job will lead you to the new love. And again, 2020 is a new decade and a year for people who have clear vision, and we talk about that all the time, which means you've learned your lessons about people and you don't have illusions about people and you're ready for love. I got the husband card. I don't know if you ever want to get married, but I got a husband card here showing up.
Wow, that's surprising.
And a man that makes very good money. He's very loving. You know, it looks as if you're going to find him pretty soon. And again, this new – are you working at all now or are you not working?
I am kind of working. I haven't really jumped right in. I'm still in training, but I haven't jumped right into the position yet. So I've got about another month of training, and then I'll be working.
Okay, good. And, yes, and kind of figure out that, you know, the universe wanted to let you get settled in this job before they brought you love, too, because – And do you want to stay in this career? Because I knew it when you were first trying to get this job, you weren't sure if it's the right one for you. Do you want it?
I thought so, and then today something happened. I'm like, I'm getting a bad feeling. And then I pulled the death card when I asked about it.
Yeah, well, that could mean an ending of things. But again, I'm not a person that advocates pulling your own cards. So. it might be wishful thinking too, you know, but but it actually looks like once you're actually doing the work, it may be okay.
Okay,
you might the training's been hard, but the actual work looks like you might like it. And
okay, good.
So let's like wait till you see what happens with that. And are you doing anything to find love?
I go out, I put myself out there, and like the last woman, you know, I went out, had a connection with someone, didn't hear from them again, but then they started messaging me like maybe a week ago.
Yeah, and that tells you right now they have commitment phobia and they're kind of narcissists because that's what narcissists do. So see this as a red flag about the person. I used to be kinder about this, but what was channeled to me this year is don't have people like hanging around waiting for narcissists who can't friggin' make up their mind. You know what I mean?
You
know, people believe they're ghosting that they're narcissists. Okay, because only a narcissist could do that to a person. You know, I couldn't do that to somebody. I would maybe say that, look, I'm all screwed up and I can't do this. I don't know why, but it's not you, it's me. I certainly wouldn't leave someone thinking they did something wrong or there's something wrong with them. And that's why, you know, didn't stay in their life. So, that guy looks like he'll keep circling around if you let him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, are you ready to kind of like, you know, not waste too much time on him?
Oh, yeah, I'm not wasting any time on him, but you know, I'll talk to him.
But it's supposed to give you satisfaction that he didn't forget you, okay?
Okay, good.
Good. This is satisfaction. Like, he's probably saying, oh, God, I don't know why I can't forget about her. Let me just do this all again, get her, like, to like me and be with me, and then I'm going to run away again. So we're not going to give you that satisfaction, but at least you know he's thought of you. But it does look like 2020 is going to bring love for you. And, you know, try not to worry about it so much, because it looks like you're starting to worry if it's ever going to happen. And relax about that, because it is. And are you only doing the online dating too?
No, I've been going to, like, I was just at a party on Tuesday. I dance with people, talk to people. And I do volunteer work, like you told the other lady. I've been volunteering.
Good. Keep just doing that stuff and get yourself out there. It's only, like a numbers game, getting out there in the world and meeting people. So, I mean, your children really do need to see a better version of love than what they've seen.
Yes.
So the universe would like to bring you, like, someone so they could see about that, you know, and what it's about. So, you know, it just looks like a great year for you. Even work looks like you're going to, like, end up kind of, like, liking it. So relax a little bit. Your cards are actually good in 2020.
Woohoo! Thank you.
Now, call in and let us know when you start this job, okay?
Thanks, Cindy. Thanks, Nicole.
Okay, and thanks for calling in the Jennifers. Okay.
All of the Jennifers.
All of the Jennifers. Thank you for calling in. That was kind of the weirdest thing, right? The Jennifers.
Right. Yep.
Well, it must be some kind of cosmic meaning. And
Karen, there's going to be something happening around Jennifer, so hey.
I don't know. Three Jennifers. That's good.
Yep.
Now, Karen, just sending you love, and I can't wait to see you on March 6th. And your money tree plant that you gave me is sitting right in the room. I look at it all the time, and it's beautiful, and it's getting big. Oh. She always gives me plants, and I love them, and I take good care of them and love them. So thank you, Karen, for everything, and you're in our prayers. All right, good night to everybody. We'll see you next week. Nicole, I love you.
Good night,
and,
Cindy. I love you.
And you sound much better than last week.
Yeah. I'm feeling a lot better than last week. Got some rest this week, so it was nice.
Okay, good. Now try to sign in before 30 seconds before next week, okay?
You know what? I won't hold you to it. Maybe we can just try it 45, and then we'll just keep going backwards from there, okay?
Okay, the 45 minute. Otherwise, you're going to get out the Ouija board and the magic eight ball.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do my thing then and hope that I'm on.
And do it. Well, good night, everybody. Bye.
Good night, Cindy.
Bye.